Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Eating... Another episode of the Eating Alone in My Car show with your host, So Sad Today. Shout out to Harold. This episode is dedicated to Harold. Harold is one of my octogenarian listeners. He is a friend of Ian. Shout out to Ian. Also a fan of the show, my friend Petra's dad. Ian, Harold, you know, I hope that this episode gives you everything that you come here for. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure why anyone would come here, but nonetheless, this one's for you. Today I am having a bean burrito. It's really nothing to write home about. I think the highlight of it is that I microwaved it on a paper towel. And as you all know, I like when a little paper makes its way into the food. It adds a little bulk. It gives a little extra. It's the closest thing I have at this point to edge play. You know, it adds a little danger. I'm eating a paper towel. It feels alt. It feels outre. It just makes me feel like, I don't know. It's the same feeling as I think I discussed a bit ago. Maybe a year ago, I don't know, about that I love to pee in the ocean. That's how it feels. It makes me feel very close to myself, raw, punk. Punk, it's punk. Eating paper towels is punk, okay? It is my middle finger to the man. You know, it is my way of giving it to, dare I say, the patriarchy, you know? And the matriarchy, because let's face it, I've got issues with the matriarchy too. Probably actually more issues with the matriarchy. Although, of course, the matriarchy that I have issues with was, you know, her issues are probably can be traced back to the patriarchy on some level. So, you know, the patriarchy, it's my fuck you to parents, parenthood, adults, rules. You know, Bob Dylan said, to live outside the law, you must be honest. And hopefully by eating this paper towel, I am becoming more honest with, I don't know. Am I honest? I was just about to say I couldn't be any more honest with myself. But, you know, it's like, I feel like, you know, it's like you could be walking down the street and a stranger could probably know more about you in 4 seconds. Then, like, you know, it's like that, the thing that about oneself, the flaw, the fatal flaw, the whatever, like the thing that is keeping you from, you know, keeping you from, I don't know, whatever it is that you think you should be, you know, a stranger could walk down the street and be like, oh, that's what it is, you know. And at the same time though, like I also feel like, and yet we can look at someone and know nothing about them. You know, like I always love when someone is like when they're not smiling and I'm like, oh, well, that's about me. You know, that's about me. Like they hate me. And then like I find out that something devastating has happened to them. You know, I'm not happy about the devastating, but I am always happy to know that once again, I have, you know, made something about me that is not about me. And it's like, and I'm reminded for maybe the next like hour not to do that. And it's refreshing. It's nice. You know, it's nice. It's a shift in perception. And what is a miracle if not a shift in perception? But you know, but sometimes we do want to say fuck you. And so I am here, I'm eating my paper towel, in my car as a big fuck you, to whatever it is, you know, that I believe is, you know, patriarchy, matriarchy, capitalism. There was my friend just sent me the other day, he was on Grindr and there was like this like cute twink, but like not that cute. Not cute enough. You know what I'm saying? Not cute enough to be getting away with this bullshit. And he was like sitting there taking a picture of himself with his iPhone on Grindr, like on a tech company, right? Being like, turn-ons include like dismantling capitalism. And I was just like, we were both just like, what? And he's like, blocked. And my friend was like, blocked. Like, what? Like, come on. Come on. Like, if you're going to dismantle capitalism or like do, like, I just don't understand. Another friend of mine sent me the other recently, there was a Lululemon workshop about like confronting capitalism. And I was like, do you just have no irony? Like, I just, is it shocking to me? I don't know. I picture these people in a marketing room, like in a boardroom, and they're just like, the new thing is dismantling capitalism. And like, I wonder if there's an assistant or someone sitting there, you know, but afraid to raise their hand and be like, sir, we are capitalism. You know, hi, apologies, but, I don't know. But you know, they don't raise their hand. And then it's like dismantling. Like, I just, but there's no irony. That's the thing, you know, like sometimes I like to tweet about, I'll do these tweets that are like, I can't be like devastated, destroyed, or even annoyed by anyone else's hypocrisy without like first looking at my own, right? Also, one really fun way to critique others is to just critique yourself, and then like others are implicated because they're like the same, right? So it's like, I don't want to turn the gaze outward. Like, I also think it's like, start within, be the change, be the meme, be the tweet, whatever. So, but sometimes like if I feel that inclination, like if people are, you know, just like being people-y, like if people are just doing what people do and I'm like, ugh, I'll do like a takedown about myself. Cause inevitably, if I am pointing the finger, there are like three fingers pointing back at me, right? Like I know this. And I never feel good whenever I tweet something that's like a critique of anyone or subtweet. Like, it never feels good. I never get the rush that I'm looking for. But if I can make it about myself, you know, cause if I can quickly say, okay, what is bothering you about this? It's your own hypocrisy or fear of not being enough or fear that you're going to be implicated or you're, you know, like, it's so easy to see something in someone else. And it's often something we hate about ourselves, you know, not always, but often. Because as my English teacher in high school said, human nature doesn't change. And I believe she was right. You know, as much as last week I was talking about that people can change. People can change. But human nature, humanity, our emotions, I do believe in a universality of emotion. Because I've seen it. I've seen people who are very, very different understand each other on very, like, fundamental levels. So I've seen it. So I'll make it about me. But like, honestly, with this Lululemon, like, I was just like, I'm flummoxed. Like, I'm baffled. And same with like, you know, the dismantling capitalism twink with his iPhone selfie. Like, literally the iPhone is in the picture. And like, I've heard people talk about, you know, like they're the critique of the critique. Like, the critique of the iPhone critique, you know, because, like, I mean, this is nothing new for people to say, well, like, you're, you know, you're doing your criticism on an iPhone made in, like, factories with no labor laws. Fine, you know, and then, which I like that critique. I mean, it's fun because it just points out what I like about it, even though I've heard the critique of the critique, which is, like, well, just because, like, you're partially or complicit in something doesn't mean you can't critique. Okay. Like, I hear all of that. However, I like that critique. I like the iPhone critique because it inevitably, if I'm a critiquer, I feel like I do need to be knocked down a peg. Like, I need to remember that I am part of the problem. And like, having an awareness of the fact that I'm doing the critiquing on the iPhone may actually make my critique more measured, may actually help me to like realize that like all human beings, like, you know, like that I'm part of it too. Doesn't mean I can't critique or can critique, whatever. You can choose whether you can or can't. But like he who is without sin, you know what I'm saying? Like I am, like he who is without sin, like cast the first call out. And like, it's just, and again, like, okay, I'm not saying critique shouldn't be made. I'm not like the best critiquer because it doesn't, like, I don't like have an orgasm from it. So I guess like, that's also why I don't, you know, I'm not like a big outward directed critiquer, or like I won't, if I don't like a book, I just won't post it on my Goodreads, you know, that kind of a thing. Like I just, it's just, it doesn't feel good for me. It's just, I don't get anything out of it. I spent a year and a half in the height of my drinking. Well, the almost height, wanting to like, just, I always wanted to be cool. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be cool. I still want to be cool. I do. I really want to be cool. But, you know, and at times that flares its head more or less. I mean, eventually, I think one nice thing about aging is you know, you have, like, I'm just like, well, I'm, you know, like, it's not, there's different kinds of cool, right? And, like, sprezzatura, like, effortlessness, that effortless cool, like, you get to know yourself enough. Like, I just know that, like, I'm not sprezzatura. Like, I'm not. Like, I'm never going to appear, I try to appear effortless, like, with the, you know, with the shot. I'm like, it's messy, it's shitty, you know, as a defense mechanism. We've talked about this. Like, as a defense mechanism that, like, okay, if I haven't, like, gotten the microphone and, like, done all the stuff, then, like, if it sucks, well, I didn't try. Like, yes. So, I try to feign sprezzatura in that way. But I know that, like, at heart, like, I'm not a sprezzatura person. Sprezzatura is, like, I think an Italian word for just, like, effortless cool, basically. Just, like, nonchalance, right? Some people have it, some people don't. I don't have it. Fine. Great. So that's one nice thing about getting older. You sort of, like, you're like, all right, like, I don't have it, and it's okay that I don't have it. Maybe that's part of the getting older, too, is, like, it's okay that, like, there is a certain embrace that can kind of happen, sort of. I don't know. I'm not sure. Something softens in the drive to be cool. Something softens in the drive to be cool. I will say that. But I still want it. But it's like, I don't even remember what I was talking about. I went from eating the paper towel, which, by the way, is fucking cool. Okay. Like, maybe that's why I like eating the paper towel. Maybe that's why I like pissing, like, in the ocean or, like, roadside. Cause, like, I do feel cool. Like, I feel like there's, like, finally, I can be, like, I can be tough. I can be effortless. Like, is my sprezzatura just eating a paper towel or pissing in the ocean? I don't know. Maybe it is. But anyway, so the critique, I don't know where. I honestly don't know how it all came to this. It all comes to this. By the way, I just, like, I'm sitting in a parking lot, just, like, gazing around. Just, like, it all comes to this. P1. 90-minute parking. I'm at Gelson's. I just pulled up to Gelson's. I can't believe that I got here so quickly. What the fuck have I been talking about? My burrito's also only half eaten. So I'm like eating the burrito in the Gelson's part, which is fine. It's not like above me, but like I'm, or below me. Nay, it is not below me to eat in a Gelson's parking lot. I've done a lot of my best eating in a Gelson's parking lot, but like before going in, it's kind of, but anyway, I guess it's just like this feeling, like, what is it? It's just, have you no self-irony? Like, don't you see? You know, don't you see? I don't know. And I don't wanna judge. But like, I have this old neighbor in Brooklyn, and like, I saw her Twitter the other day, and it was like, she has like, it was all like a branded hashtag. I don't want to be like too specific, but it was like all a branded hashtag, but like hashtags into the void. And like, it was very clear that she was like capitalizing on, she wasn't doing the anti-capitalist thing. She was doing like the, I don't know what she was doing, but it was like something very like relevant and trendy and like appears philanthropic, but like actually is just about, careerism. And I just, what is it? What is it, the dishonest? Like what does bother me about it? What is it? Is it the dishonesty? Like, is it, I mean, part, I've said before, like, I miss the days when, like, evil CEOs were just evil CEOs and weren't giving lectures on empathy. Like, is it the dishonesty? But we're all dishonest in a way. You know, everybody's got their, I mean, like I said, I feign sprezzatura via, you know, it's a feign sprezzatura via this shod being messy. I mean, also, I think I am lazy, but when it comes to the shod, like, I never got together to get a microphone. But, like, I feel like if I hadn't valued the feign sprezzatura, I might have, you know? So, yeah, I don't really know. But I do like, back to the iPhone critique for a second, like, I do like it because, like, if you, like, it just sort of makes it, it's like a great equalizer. Well, except for those who are making the iPhones, then it's not a great equalizer. But, like, I do think that critique is valid. Like, not that then the critique of the, I do think that the critique is valid. That, like, if you're making a critique on an iPhone, like, just be self-aware, right? And, okay, fine, I get the critique of the critique. Like, well, then, you know, we're all complicit in something, so then what, none of us should ever critique anything? You know, or, like, owning an iPhone makes it so that you can't critique anything? No. But, like, he who is without sin, you know? He who is without iPhone. I don't know, it just, it's an interesting, to me, it's like just the ability to look within. I guess we need people who look without. You know, I guess we need the looker withouters. I don't really know. I don't really know what we need. I don't really know what we need. I just know that when, like, Lululemon is giving seminars on dismantling capitalism, something has happened to the concept of dismantling capitalism. In which case, dismantling no longer means dismantling. Capitalism no longer means capitalism. Dismantling capitalism no longer is actually about dismantling capitalism, at least not, like, on any clickable, public, grinder-facing way. You know, like, the concept has left the concept. The concept has left the language. The language has left the building. I don't know. You know, this is a show about nothing. It relaxes me to know that, like, I just remind myself that anyone who comes here for the nothing. Come for the nothing, stay for the nothing. You know, they said that Seinfeld was a show about nothing, but, like, it, you know, that has a plot. That has a plot. You know, this show has no plot. This show has, it has sprezzatura. It has the consumption of a paper towel. It has a lot of nothing. So, you know, so there you go. That's sort of, that's what to expect for those of you who are just joining us. Although, I don't know that I've really accrued any new listenership. I don't tweet the shot anymore. It's just kind of like, for those of us who know. For those of us who know where to find the nothing, we know. And for those who don't know, it doesn't exist. I had a really weird dream. Well, it was like a really hot dream last night. Oh my God, I love that this is the episode that I dedicated to the octogenarian friend. Sorry, Harold. Well, I mean, whatever. I'm sure Harold has had his experiences, in the world, but, I was like, it was a really good dream. It was like, there was a lot of things that happened first, you know, as all dreams, but that's all sort of hazy, but I know that there was like, I know that I was being judged. I know that I was being judged for something. For lots of things. I know that I was being judged. But anyway, at some juncture, I was rock climbing. I was belaying backwards. I was rock climbing backwards down the face of some big, tall mountain rock thing. I was going backwards. I was going back down. And behind me, also like in his harness or belay or whatever, was this like hot person. It was like this really hot person, and they like, as I was going backwards, they sort of like started to hold me from behind, but like not in like a, you're not going to be able to do this way. Like it had less to do with rock climbing and more just like you are sexy. You know what I'm saying? It was like sexy. Like I was being held from behind. And then the person, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was wearing pants, so I don't know how exactly this happened, but that's the beauty of the dream. You know, this is why we can't always make our fantasies or ever necessarily make our fantasies actually match reality. Because like somehow this person knew to just gently start fingering me up the ass as they held me, as we belayed backwards down the face of this mountain rock. And I was just like, I was so into it. I was so turned on. I was like, let this be a very slow. I mean, it was a very long, slow belay, you know, it was a very, or whatever they call it, rappel. It was a very long, slow rappel, you know, it was like the rappel could last as long as I wanted, you know, but it was like, I felt so like held and like turned on and like cared for. Of course, they're behind me. So I can't see them. Like, it was interesting. It was sort of like, it was like a doggy style vibe in the sense of like, I don't have to look at them. You know, I'm not looking at them. But instead of like, if I've had doggy style with a stranger at times, like I'll feel like, and like I'm into them and I'm starting to have like crushy feelings. Sometimes I'll feel like, oh, like they don't want to look, you know, whatever. I mean, I know you're supposed to look behind you. I do. I don't not look behind me during doggy. I arch my back. I do everything you're supposed to do because, you know, sex is often sadly performative for me. And I can't just relax and enjoy. Although I can't, the older I get, the more I can, I have to say, because you just, it's not that you stop giving a fuck, but it's, you're hornier. I'm horny every year with every year. But it was like, so it was like a very, it wasn't, it actually had nothing to do with doggy. It was like very, it was just like a, I'm held like this person. I'm sort of being guided backwards, or we're going together. And like my ass is being like everything, you know, I don't even know if like the pussy was being, like, I don't even remember. I feel like the pussy must have been, because I don't really like ass play without pussy play. Like, or at least you got to warm her up. You know what I'm saying? You got to like where there's ass, there should be pussy first for me. I just speak for, but it was like, but definitely there was, it was ass, you know, it was like, I was getting fingered in the ass gently, more just like the finger was in there, you know, it was like in there. So I was like really feeling like, you know, by this hot stranger, I was really feeling like held, seen, felt, just like it was so good. You know, it was like, it was almost like being back in the womb. You know, it was like, it was, but I was rappelling backwards and down the face of a cliff, getting finger in the ass. So, or rather just having a finger in my ass. So, but then I was like, I was like, oh God, like I'm really not clean. Like I have, it's been, and I was like, oh no, there's going to be poop finger. Like when we get to the, like all is well now, but when we get to the bottom and the person extracts their finger, there's going to be a reckoning. Like this great feeling of love and heldness and acceptance, but yet at the same time, simultaneously turn on, which is so rare for me to actually feel like present. I mean, you know, present with like an imaginary person behind me in a dream, but like still present. That's present for me. For me to be fingered in the ass and feeling a sense of love and lust at the same time in a dream with an imaginary person. I don't even know if I'm me, although probably like that's intimacy, baby. That might be as close as I get, because I was with that imaginary person. You know what I'm saying? Like we were in it together. We were there. So that's intimacy. You know, we were close. Intimacy issues? No. Mm-mm. So the person was, yeah. So I was scared. I was like, there's going to be poop finger to wreck him with. And like, I may feel held, supported, turned on, united. You know, everything might be great now. Everything might be right now, but when we get to the bottom, there's going to be a reckoning. You know, when we get to the bottom, I'm going to be confronted with a rejection based on doo-doo finger, you know? But then, which is like, you know, okay, so then this, it was a revelatory experience. So then, after I had that thought, that, you know, that self-consciousness, I was like, wait a second, just hold on a second here. Hold up. The person is choosing to put their finger in my ass. Okay. I didn't ask for the finger in the ass. Even if I had, if the person wants to put the finger in the ass, if it's a consensual finger in the ass, they have chosen to put their finger up my ass. What do they think's gonna happen? Like, chances are, if you're rock climbing, I don't know how we got there, so I don't know if there had been any camping involved, but I'm gonna guess, you know, a shower, it's been a little while, right? Even if it was just a day trip, even if it was just a day excursion, you just never know. There's probably, chances are, when you put your finger up someone's ass and they haven't been like prepping, you're probably going to get some poop finger. You know, it's just how it is. You know, it's just how it is. And so I was like, well, okay. So why am I the one who's feeling ashamed for having a poopy ass? Why should I feel ashamed when this person went in knowing that asses make poop? What do you expect to find? In fact, it would be rather delusional for them to think that they could just finger an asshole rappelling down the mountain and that they're, you know, that there's definitely not going to be poop in there. I'm not saying there has to be poop in there. There's a chance there won't be. Maybe a good chance. Maybe for some there's a 50-50. Maybe for some it's a 70, you know, 70-30. I don't know. For me, it's like a 70-30 that there will be, you know, there will be poop. Like that movie, There Will Be Blood. There will, you know, it's just, I'm very active. I'm very active. You know, I eat a lot of fiber. So, you know, so if I'm not prepped, there's a 70-30 on the side of poop. Okay, it's a 70-30. And if not, at the very least, even if it's not like an active poop situation, you know, it's not going to be like the most fragrant, right? Like there's going to be, you're going to know that things have happened there. You're going to know there's been activity and it's been of the poop. You're just going to know, you know, no matter how well you wipe. I mean, it's, you know, like this many years alive and you're going to know. You're probably going to know. You know, it's just, there's been too much poop for the chance to be that there's not gonna at all be a poop vibe. So at first I was blaming myself, you know, or rather shaming myself. I was shaming myself, but then I was like, wait a minute, why would you shame yourself? This person chose to knowingly put their finger in the ass. They should know that they're putting, you know, they should know. And if they're surprised, well then, like, joke's on them, right? And it was interesting. And I think I had this dream was indicative of two things that are happening in my life. One is I was reading a Houellebecq book, one that I'm not supposed to be reading, so I'm not going to even say what it was. But I was reading Houellebecq on the sneak. On the sly. And in all of Michel Houellebecq's book, I guess it's Houellebecq. In all of Michel Houellebecq's books, the women come in like 4 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like they come in 4 seconds. They come vaginally. The clit is not needed. You know, like there's a lot. It's just, I mean, I'm not saying that no women come vaginally in 4 seconds. You know, there are, but a lot of us don't. Some do, some don't. Many that I've talked to don't. Some that I've talked to do. Fine. But I'm just saying, it can't be. With the amount of bitches he's fucking in his books, they're not all having vaginal orgasm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, honey, they're either faking or, like, obviously this is in your mind. You know, like, there's some faking. People are faking with Michelle or he just happens to only choose the vaginal orgasm women. But anyway, so in this book I was reading, so the woman at one point just, like, slides a finger up his ass. And, like, they hadn't, you know, there was no, like, showering before. So, like, it wasn't, like, I don't think they were intended, like, it wasn't prepared, planning to have sex, whatever. And, like, at no point, it was just, whenever I have a finger up the ass in one of my books, the protagonist will always have a moment where they're like, uh-oh, is it clean? My protagonists are always women. They have been thus far. Milk Fed's a woman. Pisces is a woman. So Sag, if you can call that a protagonist, is a woman. I guess the voices of my poems are, you know, from a woman's perspective. Whatever. Like, you know, and so, and in the Pisces, I actually, like, I wrote that in, you know, like, just because, like, Lucy, the main character, is on a rock, like, getting, like, amazing head from this fucking, like, fantasy merman, does not mean she is just gonna relax and have an orgasm. Like, au contraire, like, it takes a lot of work to have, like, you know, to come on the rock. Like, you gotta get fucking, whatever. So I do that. I do that for my readership who aren't, because I feel that those, I feel, you know, hashtag own voices, hashtag representation, I feel that those who have vaginal orgasms are heavily hashtag representation in books. But those of us who take, like, 6 months to have an orgasm and, like, kind of need a magic wand involved slash, you know, vibrator slash, like, or, like, a really, really fast tongue, you know, like, we're not really represented so much. You know, there's not, so I own voices did. And in fact, it wouldn't be own voices if my character, was just having a quick vaginal orgasm, you know, like that would be, I'd be misrepresenting. I'd be appropriating the vaginal orgasm. So, so, you know, if anybody is going to be having any ass play in my books, which they do, you know, they have ass play because, like, everybody's entitled to have ass play. It's great. But there's definitely going to be some self-conch. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be either they bathe before it, they're whatever. Or, like, they don't bathe and they're you know, it's not just, like, as easy as 1, 2, 3. Now, sometimes when a character is having ass play, like, they actually like that the other character smells unclean. But for themselves, right, because we can give it to somebody else. We can grant that to somebody else. We can even find it very erotic. But for ourselves, we're scared it's not erotic. Or I should speak for myself. I don't know who we is. Who is we? So, but I was like, wow, Houellebecq, there's not even what, like, I mean, he just is like, whether the ass is clean, the ass is dirty, maybe it's a French thing. I don't know. I think it might have to do with the fact that he's a man, a certain type of man, whatever. So I was just like, okay. And I like Houellebecq. I do. But, you know, but I was like, wow, like, Houellebecq is ready for a finger up the ass at any moment. And, like, if she gets poopy, like, doesn't matter. Like, doesn't, he is like, he's exempt. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have that shame. That is not a shame he has. He believes in himself. You know, he has the, what's that? You know, he's confident. He's confident, shit ass, clean, whatever. He doesn't even have a moment where he's, like, nervous about a potential rejection or moment of, like, seeing the, you know, as William Burroughs said, like, seeing the lunch on the end of the spoon, seeing the poop on the end of the finger. You know what I'm saying? A moment where you just look and, I mean, actually, I think Burroughs meant that as more of, like, an existential thing where you look at the world and everything is, you're like, what is everything? Kind of like the same way when Camus was like, you know, at any moment on any street corner, the absurdity of the world can slap any man in the face. Like, I don't think they were talking about, like, self-consciousness and poop finger, so to speak. But you know what I'm saying. At any moment, you know, whatever. They're actually, it's very different. They don't, but it sounds great. It's a great pun, you know, lunch on the end of the spoon, poop on the end of the finger, whatever. But so, yeah, so I think, like, that's one thing. That's one reason why I had that dream. The other, and I guess in the dream I was like, you know, why not me? Why not me? Why can't I just be, you know, why not me? Why can't I have that confidence? I guess in the dream it was like a reckoning, you know, it was a moment. The other thing that, the other reason why I think I had that dream was, you know, it's in relationship to the year of saying no and, you know, this thing that I've been talking about now, like, where it's not just career stuff, although that can be part of it, because I kind of had this realization that my year of saying no or my 2 years of saying no have sort of lapsed a little. Like, I've gotten back into the fear of feeling like a bitch. Or it could also be that maybe I want to say no even more now. And so it's like a new level of no-ness, which is okay. It's okay to say no. Like, it's okay to value your time, which is, like, also a new revelation for me. Like, wow, like, I matter enough. I can matter enough to myself to actually like protect my time and energy. Like, wait a second. Like, my time is actually like valuable. Like, my needs and to have like some peace and quiet and spaciousness in my mind, and like, wow, that matters just as much as like somebody's request. Like, that's news. But so I think that's what it's been. It's like the year of saying no kind of has gotten, it's deepening, right? I guess we're on year three of the year of saying no. We might be on year three. I don't know. Year two, year three, whatever. But, you know, and it's like, I had this feeling. So there's like certain people, I think, sometimes like there are people who are just sort of, I'm not going to say they're parasites, but they're like a little bit more parasitic than others. It can feel parasitic, right? Like people who like say nice things to you and then just to ask a favor, you know, like there's never anything that doesn't have like an undercurrent of manipulation. Like that does exist in the world. And like, for me, I'm not saying I'm not a manipulative person, but like, it's kind of, that's not one of my big flaws, right? Like I'm very inward facing. So like to think to manipulate, the ways that I might manipulate is actually by saying yes when I mean no, because I'm afraid you won't like me. Like that's more my style of manipulation, I think, rather than like I'm not cunningly rubbing my hands together and being like, how will I get this out of this person? You know, like I just sort of, I have plenty of like badness and evil and things that I do wrong, but like, that just doesn't happen to be as much. I'm not like super strategic, you know, like that's why I'm like bad at flirting. Cause like, I'm not strategic, right? Like I'm not coordinated. You know, I think you maybe have to be a better dancer to be manipulating. Seems like it's kind of like dancing, right? Like being parasitic seems like it's kind of like dancing. Like you need to be sort of like in control of yourself and not like taking your own inventory, I guess. I don't really know. Anyway, all I'm saying is I'm not trying to exonerate myself and say that I'm like great or whatever, but I don't think that like that tends to be one of my like scheming is just not one of my things. It's just not, because I like, it's just not. But so recently, like, I feel like I've been like kind of bumping up against like a couple of just like scheming folk, like people who are just like schemy, and I feel like they're not good at it. Like if you're good at it, then like I won't even know, but like they're just not good at it. So it's like kind of transparent. And again, it sort of feels like the Lululemon capitalism thing. Like I'm just like, honey, I see what's going on here. Like I see, but I still, I don't know. Like I still sort of am scared to, like, not even scared. I know that I'm going to say no. Like, I know I'm going to say no, but I'm like, I feel a tension and a pressure in myself. Like, I feel there's a, so now I will say no, but there's a guilt around the no, or there's a fear around the no. And I was like, what if I feel like I'm poopy ass when in fact, like, they're putting the finger in my ass. That's what it is. It's like, if you're going to put your finger in someone's ass, there might be poop there. Probably, you know, like there's a good chance. But I'm like, oh no, I have poop here. Like they're coming into my ass, non-consensually, my ass being my emails. They're coming into my emails and they're lubing it up. The finger has lube on it. You know, the finger has lube on it. There might even be some clit play involved, but it's not skillful clit play. You know what I'm saying? It's not skillful. I'm not feeling it, you know, I'm not feeling it. And the finger's going in the ass. And then I'm the one who's feeling like, wait, like ashamed. And so I had this thought, this was pre-poop dream, so I wasn't thinking of it in terms of poop and finger, but it's the same thing. And I had this thought, I was like, what if I sort of like fuck with them back? Like, what if, if somebody is like manipulative, what if I manipulate back? Like, is there a way? Are there people who are always asking for things? Okay. Also, I just had this fear that one of my favorite listeners and favorite people, who recently asked me for a blurb and it took me like a little while to write back to him, is going to think I'm talking about him. I'm not talking about you. You know who you are, my friend in Texas. I just want you to know this literally has absolutely nothing to do with you. I'm excited to read your book and I love you and I think you're the best, my friend in Houston. So this is not you. I just, because I realized it took me like a week to write someone back about a blurb request, and this is literally not you, BTW. Just so you know, my dear friend in Houston who gave me the don't mess with Texas. I don't want to say your name on the show just in case like you don't want, you know, to know people know you asked for a blurb or whatever. But my friend in Houston, if you're listening, this is nothing to do with you. Just FYI. I could just see, because if I was listening and I had like asked them for a blurb and then they were talking about like just like parasitic people who they don't want to respond to an email, I'd be like, oh my God. So just FYI, friend who brought me snacks to my Houston reading, this has nothing to do with you. So, right, because there are some people who are just like giving and giving and giving and giving, and you can just tell that like they're not looking for anything back, and then they may ask for, you can just tell. You can just tell. You just know. You just know. You know, you just know. So anyway, but my thought was like, well, like, and maybe it's because I was reading like the Patricia Highsmith, Mr. Ripley books recently, or like this year, and I was like, God, like, wow, that must be so nice to like take pleasure and like, you know, because it's just like, it feels so counter, like to just like to take pleasure in like cruelty. Like, wow. Like, wouldn't that be liberating instead of like literal like shame, terror when you even like aren't being cruel, but you feel like you could be. But I was like, what if instead of feeling guilty, what if I played a game with myself? What if I, am I allowed to play a game back? Am I allowed to play a game back where I watch as the emails come in and they go from being really nice and sycophantic to like, but fake, you know, like obviously fake, to like a little more desperate. And I just sit with my, I'm not writing back, and just watch it unfold. What if I could be okay with that? What if it's okay to be okay with that? You know, it's almost like in order to not feel shame, you need to have something like counter in like an active. And it's just not my nature, you know, to like toy, like I'm just not the spider dangling, whatever the thing is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people who like toy with people, like there's a lot of toyers. Like, I'm not saying I haven't hurt people in my life. I've definitely hurt people in my life for sure. Definitely hurt people in my life, pissed people off. But it was never like out of like a calculated, I mean, and it doesn't make it any better, but I'm just saying, like, it's not my tendency to be like, ooh, let's fuck with them. You know, like, it's more just like, it was out of like self-centered, like self-seeking blindness and like not thinking about someone else's feelings. And I guess like, yeah, like objectifying or using or being like, you know, whatever. So yes, like I said, I am in no way pure, but I'm just saying, it's not my tendency to like create any kind of strategy to like fuck with somebody. And I was like, what if I meet, it's like Machiavelli. What, you know, I need a little art of war. Or is that Sun Tzu? Lao Tzu, Sun Tzu. I need a little art of war. I need a little Machiavelli. What if I meet strategy with strategy? You know, what if I meet finger with unashamed poop? And that's what it was. I don't know. I haven't, I kind of did, because I didn't respond to someone. And I was like, instead of feeling, I was asking my friend like five times, like, do I have to, what if I don't respond to them? Is that okay? What if I don't, you know? And I'm like, what if instead of having that sort of piece of the saying no, where there's like, I say no, or like say no by silence, but like it's, there's guilt and shame. Like, what if I like enjoy? What if I enjoy the saying no? So I don't know, more will be revealed. Anyway, from my poop finger to your poop finger, wishing you a week where, you know, if there's no poop, there's no poop. Great. But if there is poop where you feel like, you know what, that poop was supposed to be there. You know, it's okay that the poop is there. I'm a human being. And I will see you on the flip. Oops, sorry. I hit the thing before I did see you on the flip side. So I'm going to do it again. Poop finger, my poop finger to your poop finger. and I will see you on the flip side. That is all. Bye-bye.